Blog Talk Radio.
Brothers and sisters, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the PRF Table. This is your host, Dr. Nate Dunlap. We're just excited that you have taken out some of your time on this Thursday evening to be with us as we talk about our last episode of our Black Money Matters series. Tonight, we're going to be talking about the future and more specifically, encouragement to do now. That's what we're talking about. We're trying to encourage you to do something now. If you've been with us over the last couple of weeks, you know we've had a host of guests, and we are so thankful to everybody who's been with us during these last 3 weeks. And so tonight we are so excited to have Dr. Dante Truss. He's the co-author of It Was All a Dream. He's the Vice President for Enrollment Management and Student Retention at Albany State University there in Albany, Georgia. And also, I just have to say, we are doubly excited to have with us Nicole Thompson. She's the author of How to Lay Me Down to Rest, and we're going to use these two individuals and allow them to help us close out this month's series on really what we believe is one of the most important topics that sum up everything that we've been dealing with, and really that's it's time. It's time for us to do some things, and the reason we say that here on the PRF Table is because the future, your future, my future, our children's future, it all depends on how we really understand and connect and educate and transform this whole landscape of faith and finances and family in this season. And so without further ado, we just want to welcome Dr. Truss to the show, give him an opportunity just to bring greetings in his own way, and we will continue on with the PRF Table. So Dr. Truss, good evening and welcome, sir.
Hey, good evening. Very delighted to be here with you, Dr. Dunlap. Excited about all the great things that God has been blessing you with and allowing you to bless others with. Very excited about the overall topic. Look forward to sharing as much as I possibly can in this short period of time to make sure that we're able to present some good information, some solid facts that hopefully can assist some persons on reaching their goals and aspiring to be a little bit better than what they are. So excited to be here. Thank you very much for the opportunity.
Well, thank you. So let's just go ahead and get right into it. For those who don't know, we will go ahead and just let it be known right now that you are an author, not just an author, but you're an educator. And I know I mentioned that as far as what you do, but I really want the people to connect with you early on in these next couple of moments and just tell us, you know, from your perspective, what is the value of higher education, and how did you even get into this field of higher education?
Yeah, thank you for that question. Well, the value of an education is something that you almost can't even put a dollar amount on. The benefits, the things that you're afforded by taking advantage of educational opportunities, you can't even imagine it until you become a part of it. I like to tell people that it doesn't make you any wiser or smarter than anybody else that, you know, one decides to go on and further their education, but it does provide them with a key. And it's a key that can get you in the doors that others can't get in unless they have the same credentials as you. So to put a value on it, it's tough to say, but man, once you're in and once you're part of it and once you've done it and you're able to look back over the things that you've done and see the accomplishments, you would amaze yourself. I'm one who has come from basically a first-generation home, and basically what that means is I was the first one in my immediate family to go on to a four-year college. That just wasn't something that people did that came from my area. In my area, and I'm from Talladega, Alabama, if anybody out there has ever actually heard of that area, it's a great place, but unfortunately when I was coming through that place, there were not a lot of opportunities. The job rates were not good. The unemployment rates were extremely high. And the options for a young black male was basically to go and work at a chicken factory. And I'm not saying anything is wrong with going to work at a chicken factory, but I do believe that you have to have more opportunities than just that. And I was one that decided that wasn't going to be my route. And it was a tough, tough row to hoe in regards to not falling and going in that direction as I tried to do something different. But luckily I did have parents, a mother and a father, that believed that if they just had enough faith and they can put me around the right people, even though they might not have known the process, they were smart enough to know to get me connected with the right people and to get me in the right spots. And by them doing that, I was able to get in school. I remember the very first day when I showed up on the college campus, and many people might not believe this, as I'm actually over areas such as this now, like financial aid and admissions and recruitment, as I'm leading these pieces. I remember showing up on the first day of school, not having completed any of my documentation, basically applied late, financial aid wasn't taken care of. It was just a matter of once we started moving, my mom knew a person that worked in the financial aid office, and she was able to kind of get her the information at the very, very last minute, and we were able to process it and push it through. But the good part about it was, as I was going through that, I paid attention to what was going on, and it ended up happening like some other things that have happened in my life. I learned as I went. So to those of you out there who happen to be a first-generation student or the first person in your family going, don't let that discourage you. You just learn the process as you go. And as you do, you study it and you learn it and you flip it inside out. And before you know it, you can master it and then you can make it work for you. Did I answer your question? Should I pause there or you want me to keep going, Dr. Dunlap?
Oh, you can keep going. It's not about hearing my voice. They hear me every Thursday. So I want you to pour into the people, especially our young people, Doc, because – a lot of times, I mean, I just think about what you said. You know, you talked about the unemployment was high where you grew up. You talked about the jobs were limited. And sometimes there's a lot of people, especially our young people, that are out there that may not be listening. And maybe the parents that are listening to tonight's show that really need to be encouraged and lifted up to know that there's something beyond what they're able to see that's right there in front of them. So, please, Doc, you know, give us all that you can give us because, you know, we just have to do it this way.
Great. I recall just as if it were yesterday, and I speak about this in my book, It Was All a Dream, when my English teacher basically told a friend of mine and myself that we were not even college material. You know, don't even consider going to college. And, you know, that conversation could have gone one or two ways, you know, because I was upset and it really – made me think about, you know, the type of person that this particular person could be to say something like that to a young person. And it could have gone one or two ways. It could have gone bad. But I'll tell you, my friend and I, we took it as a challenge. And he's one of the co-authors in the book as well. It Was All a Dream. We took it as a challenge and we said, you know what, we're going to prove this person wrong. I say that to say to those of you who are listening, there are people who are doubting you, but you can't fall prey to their doubt because they don't have enough faith to know that all things are possible. Does not mean that you have to fall prey to that because we know that all things are possible. So we took it as a challenge and we basically said, we're going to prove her wrong. And we ended up getting to college and this young man went to college with me along with approximately five other gentlemen from my same area. And we basically created a pact that we're going to go down to Alabama State University and that's where we went. And we're going to make it. And we're going to make sure that all of us make it. We're going to take care of each other. And we knew if all of us put the money that we had in our pocket that day, that we had in our pocket that day together, we probably would not have had about $20. But we knew that God was going to take care of us, and we were going to make it somehow. We all had praying mothers, fathers, grandfathers, grandmothers, et cetera, people pulling for us and people who were, you know, encouraging us. Even though they didn't have a lot to contribute, they definitely had kind words and encouraging words. And sometimes when you, if that's all you have to use that. But we committed to the cause and said that we were going to make it. We went down, and not only did we make it, we all were extremely successful while there and even started some entrepreneurial things together in order to make money. We kind of created a little bit of a business in order to be able to do the things that we needed to do. And I say that to say that sometimes when you're in the middle of situations, great opportunities come out of it. And as we were creating some of these opportunities, we ran into another group of guys who were just like us, but they just happened to be from Dallas, Texas. But they were down at Alabama State University, didn't have a lot of money, didn't have a whole lot of options. And some kind of way, God put us all together. And we clicked and we bonded and they became a part of our group. And we used to call ourselves Talladallas because it was Talladega and Dallas. It had come together. And now we stand with a nonprofit that's started as Tala Dallas Incorporated. We switched the name as the fundraising piece kicked off more and just turned it into TDI, and it's turning dreams into reality. And it's and our website is www.tdi2r.com. And we created a nonprofit so we could give back scholarships to young men who were just like us. And so far, we've given out about approximately $15,000 worth of scholarships. We've paid for young men to go to China for internships. We provide mentoring, and we've mentored over 120 guys through our program. And we turn adversity into opportunity, and that's why I kind of settle with. And I think that's what we have to keep in mind. Many times we put through tests and put through situations so that we can learn from it, but not to keep it to ourselves. It's always designed to help an even larger audience. And so we turn that adversity into opportunity. And in our book, It Was All a Dream, talks about our stories and how we had to overcome things as we grew up, but then also how we got together once we got to Alabama State University and how we were able to again create that pact and decide that we were going to make it.
Wow. You know, something that you said, Dr. Truss, you mentioned, and the reason I'm going to tell you why I'm going back to this is because mm-hmm. a lot of times people look at individuals like you who have a title in front of your name. Those students, I'm sure they look up to you when you're standing there during orientation or admissions, and they see you because you command that type of authoritative presence, especially as a black male in our society today. But a lot of times they don't know the story.
That's right.
And it's something about telling the story because, again, I can say the same thing maybe about myself. They can say that I have, you know, those same two letters in front of my name, right? But don't know the struggle, don't know how much had to really go into getting to this point, you know, with PRF, you know, the same thing
right.
with you. But something key that you mentioned was when you went to college, you didn't have all of the things done that you needed to have done. You had to kind of muddle your way through after you got there. And I think it's important for us to really try to help, especially our young people and parents who have young people that are entering into that time of college, to let them know that it's too important for us to not address this whole notion of being prepared. There are some things that are going to happen when we get to college. When they get to college, we already know that. But
mm-hmm.
I'm just of the belief that if you put certain things in place now, then that's going to save some of our young people some headaches, right? I'm
mm-hmm.
sure that when you were going through what you were going through, it didn't feel good having that anxiety, for example, of, man, you know, I may not make it or this may not happen. And so I'm of the belief that when it comes to, and I'll switch to the church side of things, we have responsibility as leaders in the church to try to help and put these things in place for when our young people are coming up. Because, I mean, think about the scripture. We hear it all the time in church. Raise up a child, right? Raise up a child, raise up a child, right?
Mm-hmm.
Raise up a child, raise up a child. We hear that scripture all the time. But it's more than just the Sunday school lesson, right?
Right.
It's more than having them come and participate in, you know, Youth Sunday once a month, and usher and standing up there doing devotion or praise and worship.
Absolutely.
These type of things of higher education are things I just believe should be in youth groups, in youth ministries, because if they don't learn it at an early age, then they're going to have to experience some of what you experienced, some of the things that I've had to experience. So that's my position. Do you think that that's
mm-hmm.
something valid? Have you seen, you know, or you know of anybody that's out there taking an interest in our young people, in our youth ministries, where they're saying, look, we have to do more than just have you come here and do church. We have to help you with some of the skills and obtain some of the life skills that you're going to need as you go into what I would call a career of higher education, because it is a career. That's your job for 4 years or 2 years or however long that program is at its community college. So
right.
what's your thoughts on that?
Well, I think you're 100% correct, and I think that many times, especially in our communities, we're missing great opportunities to share information that can truly transform families, transform communities. We are just getting to the point where we're beginning to preach education and really mean it, because I think sometimes when we're in our churches, we kind of get a little, I don't want to say offended, but sometimes we get a little distance built in between us because some have education and some don't. Whereas we have to begin to realize that we're living in a different day. And if you don't have some type of credential, it's going to be very difficult for you. I've seen churches that unfortunately are not in communities where many minorities are. They're already advancing and preparing and making sure that they have programs built into their weekly ministries that are designed to make sure that their children are ready to go to college when it's time to go. We're getting to the point now where we're preaching, go to college, but we're not giving them any other skill sets that they need in order to help them to be successful once they get there. I'm a firm believer that the college going process for us must start the day that the child is born. What I mean by that is, as parents, we have to start investing money, different saving opportunities that will begin to yield and produce enough for us to be able to pay tuition when it's time for our children to go to college, so that we don't have to depend on student loans, so we don't have to be depending on other federal supports or things that'll pull us behind on the financial side. We got to start from day one, and we got to begin to put an adequate amount of money to the side to be prepared just in case our young person does not get a scholarship. Then we have to make sure that along the way that our young people are getting the things they need inside of the classroom. We got to demand from the school system and from teachers, and I love teachers. I think they do an excellent job, but I do think we have to make sure we do our part. But after we've done our part, we then have to make sure that the system is preparing our, and I mean the educational system in whatever area you're in, is doing its part to make sure that our young people are competitive, and that they, when they take the SAT and the SACT, that they're going to score high enough in order to compete for scholarships, in order to major in the majors that are going to change and transform their lives, which are some of the majors that these young people want to be involved. I believe when we're in the eighth grade, we have to start taking what's called the PSAT, so we can already know what's on the SAT, so that we can be prepared when it's time to take that SAT and that ACT to make the best score that we possibly can make. Many people don't realize that you could take these tests over and over and over as many times as you want to. So start taking it at a much earlier period. Also, if you're having financial difficulties, you can get financial waivers to get these tests free. But we got to be aware of all of these things that are there to assist us and take advantage of them early versus waiting until the last minute. I waited till the last minute because I didn't know any better. It wasn't as much information flowing then as it is right now. I remember only having one school counselor, and that school counselor basically looked around for the people that she thought would be college material. Well, we know that people can't judge people, period, because if you start using your own intuition, you miss. You miss. But we have to make sure that we are preparing our young people, and we have to do it based on all the information that is available. We got to take college tours when we're in the seventh grade, again in the eighth grade, multiple times in the ninth grade, all the great opportunities that are out there for us.
Wow, you've given us so much. Let me tell you, I'm writing it down, and I'm going to put some of this on our Facebook page, facebook.com/PRF, or have somebody else, any of the other people on the team, hopefully they'll be able to post some of these things. Just saying, you've given us a lot, Dr. Trust, and I think that it all just starts with being prepared. I had the opportunity, or we had the opportunity, to do a fiscal responsibility in Auburn, Opelika, Alabama area a couple of weeks ago. And one of the scriptures that I used was Proverbs chapter 6, verse 6 through 8. Take a lesson from the ants, you lazy bones. Learn from their ways and become wise. Though they have no prince or governor or ruler to make them work, they labor hard all summer gathering food for the winter. Now that's 6 through 8. If you go to 9 to 11, 9 through 11 tells you what's going to happen if you don't take the advice of verse 6-8. So we're just going to stop there, right? Everything that you've been saying, it just confirms and it affirms what I was telling those high school students. And there was high school students from Auburn High School and Opelika High School, and also some from college students from Tuskegee University that was present at this seminar, and also Auburn University. And I'm going to tell you something. I learned so much conducting this fiscal responsibility seminar on that day, and it caused me to come back and say, you know what, we have to do more for our young people. You know, they have a lot of access, as you mentioned, to a lot of information. And then one of the things that I've heard, and I really don't like it, is when people just tell somebody to go to a website, right? Mm-hmm. There's many scholarships out there. Well, you know, there may be many scholarships out there. The information may not have been updated in 2 years. So there has to be somebody that's in this space that has the ability to make sure that they're getting the right information. Because, as you know, the Internet is wide open. There's so much information out there, and you can think you're starting at the right place, and you can be going down the wrong path from the beginning. I do want to piggyback on one more thing, and I thank you for the time you've given us so far. You mentioned student loans, and I can tell you, in this area of PRF, that is one area when we're dealing with credit, when we're dealing with debt, that a lot of people are struggling with. A lot of people have obtained student loans for whatever reason, right, wrong, or indifferent. We're not debating on, you know, whether somebody made a right move or a wrong move. But for me, as I deal with folks on a frequent basis that have a lot of debt when it comes to student loans, can you speak to some practical things that people can do to look out and look further than where they think they need to be when it comes to obtaining student loans? Because I really just believe that sometimes students, they want to go to a school because of name recognition, for example, right? Had a student that said, I want to go to X school. Well, that school costs $30,000. Okay, it costs $30,000 a year for the tuition. That's not counting books. That's not counting everything else. And so they're believing that this is the school they want to go to. Now, that's only 1 year. So now we're talking like $120,000. You add up all these other fees and everything else, it can easily be $140,000 for their four-year education. I think a lot of people, and this is just my opinion, think that, look, I'm going to just go ahead and go to school. I'm going to get these student loans. But what happens when they don't, and I'm asking you this as an administrator, right? What happens mm-hmm. when they don't repay their student loans? How does that affect the institution when they don't repay their student loans?
Right. Very, very good question. At this point, the federal government looks at student loans just as a business would. The federal government is basically investing in someone every time a student loan is distributed. And as an investor, anytime one invests, they expect to get a return. So they're giving you money, but it's not free money. They're looking to get money back from this. So mm-hmm. we have to keep in mind this is a business. So as we are getting these student loans, we have to keep in mind that there is an expectation that these funds will come back with some added interest to it. Well, also the federal government likes to hedge their bets, just like any other good investor. They want to mm-hmm. guarantee that they're going to get these funds back. So now not only are they holding the person who receives the loan accountable, but they're also holding these institutions who give these loans to be accountable mm-hmm. as well. And if many persons or high percentage of persons who have taken out these loans don't pay them back, then the federal government can say to the college or to the institution, hey, guys, we're not going to allow you to give any more. We're not going to allow you to get federal funds. So with that in mind, this is almost an explanation why you, especially if you have student loans, you're getting a lot of calls, and you may even be getting notices from your institution because they need you to pay it back as well. So as we're getting these loans, we have to keep in mind, if we love our alma maters, number one, we know we got to pay it back because we know that other people coming behind us might need some of these funds. But we also have to understand that you can't get away with this. You're going to be held accountable for these loans. That's the reality of it. And I think we have to look at this as a business. And here's the second phase of me answering this question and reaching to touch some other areas here. Because you mentioned, and I think you cited $120,000 in debt. And there are many people out here with student loans that amount to that. Well, keep this in mind. When we're making our college choices, we have to keep in mind that each degree that we go after has the potential to bring a certain amount of money. And I'm going to use the education field for an example. And I love the education field because I'm in it, and my wife is a teacher, so I love the field. But if I'm looking to become a teacher and I'm looking at college choices and I come across tuition that charges $30,000 a year, because I think, again, that's the number you selected, which is going to lead me to $120,000 in debt. Why would I decide on that institution and take out that type of loan when I know I'm going to get this job and make $28,000 a year? Which means if I gave everything that I made, it would take me 5 years to pay it back, but I know I can't do that, which means it's going to be extended. It wouldn't be wise for me to select an institution with a tuition bill like that when I know the career path that I've selected only guarantees me X amount of dollars that doesn't equate to that total loan amount. So I say that to say when you're making your college going choices, think about what you want to major in. If you're looking to become a doctor, you go to that private school and you pay the $40,000 a year because you understand I'm going to give it out right now. I'm going to make an investment here, but my return is going to be plentiful because once I become a doctor, I'm going to make $300,000 a year. And I'm just using arbitrary numbers. So it's not going to take me as long to pay some of this stuff back. But if I know I'm going to go into criminal justice and I'm going to be a correctional officer or a police officer, why would I want to have $120,000 worth of debt? Why not go to a college, a local college that's state supported, that's going to offset some of my costs, and instead of me paying 30, I could possibly pay $15,000 and have much less debt in the end because I'm going to this public school. I can also tap into all those beautiful opportunities that lie in our public funded institutions. So I think we have to make wise business choices when we're thinking through how much debt we're willing to incur, make wise business choices based on, you know, where I'm going to go to school and what I'm going to major in, and understand, as you mentioned, that information that is out there. Do your research. Find out.
Right.
If you try to be a millionaire, there are certain fields you better not go in, okay? And you kind of got to know that going in. And you got to make strong business choices. And our parents who are listening, our children come up with some amazing thoughts sometimes, but we have to keep in mind that they're children. So we have to help guide them through this process. And we have to put all the data and the information on the table. And if you need help doing that, go to some of these college campuses or find friends who have done some of these things and talk with them about it. Get as much information as you possibly can. Because what we don't want to do is set our children up for failure and they get $120,000 worth of student loans, the loans default, and they end up ruining their credit for the rest of their life. And they have decent jobs. Excuse me. No, they won't be able to get a decent job because the first thing good jobs are going to do is run a background check, which includes a credit check. And you're going to disqualify yourself because of that $120,000 loan that you defaulted on, even though you've been to school for the last 5 years trying to get a degree to get in it. You still find yourself in an even worse situation because you're jobless and you got $120,000 worth of debt, or you're underemployed. So we just have to keep those business choices in mind and realize that the key to winning this is information, 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 and we have access to it.
Wow. Well, Dr. Truss, once again, we thank you for coming on the PRF table and just sharing some of your experiences and your knowledge and your wisdom. Once again, can you tell the listeners how they can link up with TDI, how they can purchase the book, It Was All a Dream, before you go ahead and head out?
Yeah. Our website is www.TDI2R.com. You go there, you'll have access to the book, but also you'll see the nonprofit If it falls upon your heart to donate to our nonprofit, that's great. Every book that we sell, all the proceeds, 100% of the proceeds, go directly to our scholarship fund, and also go to our mentoring of these young men. So we don't make a dime off this. We don't do it for the money. We do it strictly to give back to these young guys and to give them an opportunity that we ended up having, but we had to fight like heck to get. We want to try to make the
That's
road
right.
a little easier for the next man.
Gotcha, gotcha.
Well, thank you for everything.
Thank you. Well, listen, we appreciate you, my brother, and we will be in contact. We will definitely be posting on our website your contact information as far as the website and how they can reach out to you. And I encourage everybody, especially if you love what you heard, you know, you can only get but so much from Dr. Trust in about 29 minutes. So that means if you need one, the rest of it, you got to go and purchase the book. So we'll make sure we make that information available on our website, prfministry.org. And so with that, Dr. Trust, God bless you. We love you, sir. We will talk to you soon. And when we come back, we will be joined by Ms. Nikki Thompson, the author of How to Lay Me Down to Rest. We'll be right back here on the PRF table.
The moral of the story is, I want for my brother what I want for myself. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Come on. Uh-huh.
I want all my people on. Everybody living good, everybody eating good, everybody should. I want all my people around me, everybody eating good.
Enough for two. It starts with me and it starts with you. It's complicated, but it's simple too. Just like patience, sharing is a virtue. Show folks where you stand. Lend a hand when you can to your fellow man. Over plan for the day when you can't work the way you used to.
I want all my people around me. Everybody living good.
Everybody
eating good. I want all my people around me. Everybody living good.
That's right. That's right.
Everybody living good.
Straight.
I want for my brother what I want for myself. I want for my sis what I want for my mother. Was an undercover thugger trying to get to the wealth, to the thug. Life put my brother undercover. Now one of us gotta be around for the love of her. Turn my life around and what's real love to others. I'm the one serving you facts, was the one serving you butters. Please be mindful with some Judas to the mother.
Let's go.
All my people.
Well, good evening once again, my brothers and my sisters, and welcome back to the PRF Table. This is your host, Dr. Nate Dunlap. We are so happy to have with us somebody that is very near and dear to my heart. We're going to say we are family. We have Ms. Nicole Thompson. She's the author of How to Lay Me Down to Rest, and she is going to help us close out this month's series. If you've been with us for the last couple of years, every February we have a series called Black Money Matters, and I can tell you that this topic that we're going to talk about in this last 30 minutes of our of this show is really going to bless you. It is really going to enlighten your eyes. And be perfectly honest with you, it's really going to have you say, you know what, I need to get on the ball. That's just the bottom line to it. I need to get on the ball. I need to do what I need to do because tomorrow is not promised. So with that, without further ado, we welcome Nicole Thompson to the PRF Table. Nicole, Nikki, how you doing?
Hi. Hello, everyone. Hi. I'm doing well.
Okay. Now this is the PRF Table. This is not church on Sunday morning. This is the PRF Table. So we're gonna have to have her to crank it up. I just, we going back to Philly. We talking about home right now. I gave you a good intro with Kendrick the Family Stone from Philadelphia playing All My People. So we're going to have to liven this up, even though we're going to be talking about something real serious. But listen, okay. If you were not with us during the first 30 minutes of our show, the first half of our show, we're talking about the future. And we've been doing a lot of encouragement on this month. We've had so many people that have blessed us with their time, with their wisdom, with their insight. We've dealt with the family piece, and I really believe that as we talk, Nikki, we're going to be really encouraging people to do something now. That's the whole thing about it. We can have show after show after show to say we love you. We can have show after show after show to say you're valuable. God loves you. We can do show after show after show to say there's a whole bunch out there waiting on you, but if you don't do anything with it, then it's going to sit there. And so I just want to just give you an opportunity just to tell us a little bit about yourself. I've already mentioned the fact that you authored How to Lay Me Down to Rest. This is not your first book, but this is the one that when I got my hands into it, I said, we must do something with this book. We must bring this, and I'll share something with our listeners at the end, and we may have something special for you at the end, so we encourage everybody to stay around for the next 22 or 23 minutes. This book, Nikki, How to Lay Me Down to Rest, give us a little bit about the insight into that book, but before that, just tell us a little bit about you. I love for people to know who we have as guests on this PRF Table.
Okay, of course, my name is Nicole Thompson. I'm a single mother of three, Mia Thompson, Naeem Thompson, and Asiya Thompson. I have to give them a shout-out because they're listening. But I'm 37 years old, and I'm an author of three books. Love of My Life was my first book. That's kind of an urban fiction novel, but it has a very faith-encouraging ending, so I recommend people to go on Amazon.com or on my website and get that as well. And then I wrote a book called Kenya. It's kind of like a learning book. Like you kind of learn from, it's teaching you more so about karma. Like, so you basically do unto others as you want them to do unto you. So, and that's a little bit more for like the younger generation to read. I wouldn't recommend that for our older generation. They can read Love of My Life. But and then the third book that I recommend for everyone is How to Lay Me Down to Rest. That is the third book that I just recently did. It's basically a step-by-step guide to assist families, friends, funeral homes, postmortem service providers, basically to assist everyone because just the passing of a family member, a loved one, anyone, a friend, is very, very, very hard to deal with. So I made this book, How to Lay Me Down to Rest, because it was inspired by pain, but it came from a love point in my body that I knew I had to do something to basically help others because of what my family and a few people that I do know went through during very hard time of grieving and mourning. So basically made this book to assist people during that time of grieving.
Mm. You know, one of the things about that is, just like I mentioned to my previous guest, Dr. Trust, we all have portions of our lives that we have to tell. We all have certain things that have happened that have caused us and pushed us into what I'm going to say, our greatness. I'm still trying to get to the point of where you are, Nikki. I'm still trying to write the books. I go a little while, and then I move to something else because something else comes up. So I must commend you for have written three successful books. And I will say publicly that we're going to do everything we can here at the PRF Institute and through the PRF table, our radio show, to push as many books as we possibly can because we know the importance of it. I'm not going to put you on the spot, but can you just express as much as you want to give us some of that pain, some of what you had to deal with that actually pushed you into actually writing this book?
Okay. I feel this book is very, very important because future is very, very important. I had a relative that recently was tragically murdered. I have my kid's grandmother who passed away unexpectedly, like she wasn't sick or anything. We basically was laughing and talking on the phone one day, and then the next day she was gone. And then I have several friends who tragically lost friends in car accidents, etc. But basically, this book is very, very important because when you lose someone mentally and emotionally, it is very, very hard. I mean, it could bring out depression in you. You may not want to get out of bed. If it's your spouse, if it's someone you're talking to and dealing with every day, and then tomorrow they're gone, it's like you just basically go through a huge mental stress. And unfortunately, during that stressful grieving time that you need to talk to God and to heal within, you still have a lot of important things to do. If you lose your spouse, you still have children that need to be taken care of that don't really completely understand what you're going through. You still have to bury and have plan a service, a funeral service. You still have a lot of important things to do. And it's very, very hard when you are just out of it, like you're extremely sad. This book, like I said, was inspired because one of my family members tragically was taken away, and we didn't know what to do. We didn't know basically financially what they may have had in the bank, if they had life insurance, what they wanted to do with their belongings. We didn't know anything. And a lot of times when you lose someone, you literally, when you're sad, you still have to go through their things and try to find others and try to figure out what to do. And it's so very, very hard. And our culture doesn't really like to plan this type thing. They deal with it usually when it happens, and that's the worst time to deal with it because you're mentally not thinking correctly. I have some friends and relatives that, during the funeral time, they were fighting, and it broke up a lot of family members from their relationship with one another. They're fighting over property, fighting over money, fighting over all kinds of different things, and that's the worst time to have to fight. When you're grieving a family member or a friend, you want to kind of come together and show each other more love and support. And this book basically is just a very informative book written by yourself, left in a safe place, whether it's your nightstand drawer next to your bed, whether it's next to your Bible, whether you have it on a shelf in the living room, wherever you have it. I recommend inside of my book as well, and it's a very, very small book, but I recommend that you discuss whatever you write in your book with your close family and friends so that they kind of know exactly what you're saying in the book and where things are. It's just a little more self-explanatory, especially if you're able to explain your wishes that you put in this book. And this is not a will, but it's like the first step. It kind of directs them. For example, myself, I have two life insurance policies because I have children. I have three children. I'm a single mom. And I need to know that my kids' future will still be okay if I'm not here. And God forbid, things are happening to me, but car accidents happen every day. People have brain aneurysms. People find out they have cancer. People find out all kinds of things unexpectedly, and things happen. And I just, while I'm okay, while I'm happy, while things are okay, I want to have everything planned out just in case. And then that way, if something, if God calls me home and I'm with the Lord, I know my family will be okay. So, and I just wanted to leave like some type of direction, like it's a name and a number, so that makes it easy for them, you know, where my life insurance policies are, what I need done with my all of my belongings. I kind of made the book easy and relatable. To fill out, it's very small. It's not really, like, it's not a big book. Nobody wants to write and fill out a whole lot of information about that type of stuff because they feel like they're planning, you know, they're planning that day. Like, they don't want to plan that out. But you also don't want your family members fighting and having a hard time to do this, something that a lot of our culture tends to take 2-3 weeks to plan a funeral because they were unprepared. But if they're a little more prepared, then they can just hand this book over to who you, you know, recommend. Like if you already pick out like a funeral home or you already pick out a service provider, they can hand the book to them and basically just grieve and mourn and then thank God and pray and be happy that you're with God, you know. So instead of them having to deal with a lot of very, very serious things that have to happen immediately after someone passes. So it's just a small, helpful book that you will leave for your family to assist them during their time of grieving your passing. So.
Wow. You know, I'll share something with you. And probably, you know, only a few people will actually know this. The whole world will know now. But when my dad died, my dad died back in 2007. I remember after getting back home how it wasn't a lot of confusion, but there were still questions, right? It was like, well, what are we going to do about this? What about the suit? You know, what is going to bear? And the reason we're bringing this up on a PRF table because it does have a PRF component to it, possession, resources, finance. It does matter when you start dealing with money, because as you said, that's when folks sometimes lose their mind. Folk act like they ain't got no money who know they got money. They're like, man, it ain't my child. You know, how come he ain't taking care of his business and all those type of things. Those are real things. And it's not just in the black community. And so I remember we were about to go buy my dad a suit because when you have a funeral, most people don't want the old suit that, you know, daddy or granddaddy them wore, you know, every Sunday, or, you know, they want them to look real nice, you know, sharp and clean. And so that's money. But I started going through, and again, this is because it's me, right? So I started looking at stuff in the house, and I found a book, and I won't say similar to your book because your book is top shelf, but it was a book, a little pamphlet of like 5 or 6 pages. And I still have the book at home. Because I brought it home with me after the funeral. But it had who to contact. It had my name in there, who to contact. It had contact Aunt Gloria. It had contact Miss Hall. It had, and this was the part that tripped me out. It had, I want to be buried in my white suit.
Wow.
And so anybody who knows me, who's listening, whose family especially, who was at the funeral, can think back and be like, you know what? He was in a white suit. And I was able to show that to my aunt. I was able to show that to Roz and like, okay, look, we ain't got to go out and do nothing because this is what he said he wanted. It wasn't like you said. You said this is not a will, and people need to know that.
Right.
But if you can't do this part, ain't no way in the world you're going to put a will together. So
right.
we have to make sure that this book gets in the hands because, again, it's going back to that scripture that I mentioned previously in the last segment, Proverbs chapter 6, verse 6 to 8. Those ants were doing something now for a situation that was coming later. They did something in the summer that was coming in the winter. Well, night is coming to all of us, right?
Yes.
So
mm-hmm.
it's coming. It's just, I mean, if we go to what was said in 2 Kings chapter 20, it said Hezekiah was sick unto death, and then the prophet came to him and said, here's what God said. Get your house in mm-hmm. order, because you surely shall die and not live.
Right.
So we don't need anybody to come tell us that. If it's one
right.
thing we guaranteed to do, is to go ahead and
mm-hmm.
get up out of this earth, because we just ain't our
yeah.
permanent home. So if we already know that, and if we believe it, then that means we should be wise like the ant in Proverbs chapter 6 and put this in place. If you put this in place, then as I come and start talking about, okay, let's deal with the insurance piece. Let's deal with
mm-hmm.
making sure you have the will. What are you going to do with your children? How, or not you do,
yeah.
but what do you want to happen with your children as a single father or a single mother or a young
yeah.
parent? Those things get to be a lot easier to deal with. Because now you can say, you know what, if I can complete this 10, 15-page book and
mm-hmm.
I got all this information filled out, then I have the courage or the faith to believe now that I can go one step further. And that's one of
yeah.
my things of encouragement to our people is if you take one step, God will take one step. But his step is always bigger than ours. So really the reality
right.
is you take one step, he's going to meet you where you are. And we have to be accountable to each other. I like how you said that you recommend talking to family and friends about, or I don't know if you said friends, but definitely family, talking to other folks about what you want to happen. You know what
yeah.
I'm saying? It would have been jacked up if Gloria wanted him to be in a black suit, and then Rod was like, oh, he wanted to be in a white suit. Man, ain't nobody got time for that foolishness. I have to say it, you know,
yeah.
you're sweet.
Mm-hmm.
You're sweet way to kid you, I mean, Nikki, but I got to be straight up with this thing because night is coming and a whole
and
bunch
so
of folks continue.
You.
Huh?
He wrote it down. It, thank God he wrote it down and you found it. You know, God
right.
led you to the book to find it where you could say, you know what? No, this is his wishes, the white suit. So.
That's right. I mean, I'll never forget it. It's like, wow. Well, let me ask you this.
Yes.
How can they get your book? Where can they go to purchase your book? Tell us about, you know, where you're going to be in the next month or so if you're going to be anywhere so that people that are in that Philadelphia area or anywhere close can come and meet you if you have any events coming up.
I actually do. I have a book expo coming up at the Deptford Mall in New Jersey on March the 11th from 10 a.m.
Right.
to 4 p.m., so you can come to Deptford Mall. My website is www.booksbynicolethompson.com. Again, that's www.booksbynicolethompson.com. You can purchase my books there. My email address is thompson2705@gmail.com. And a number also that you can call is 267-970-0889. You can send me a message via email, or you can call the number, or you can go on my website. I'm working on getting my books on, like, Amazon. Well, I have my other books on Amazon, so I'm working on getting How to Lay Me Down to Rest, because this is a very fairly new book
mm-hmm.
on Amazon as well. But for now, you can purchase them directly from me, and they're $5.99. So, and I just
right.
recommend anyone everyone willing to prepare, I would say 18 and above, because anyone below 18, their parents, is no one under 18. But I'm just saying,
right,
it
right.
happens to all of us. You know, you have to prepare. Unfortunately, even with life insurance, I have life insurance for all three of my kids, and my youngest is 7. He's had life insurance since he was born. So,
if
prayerfully, my kids outlive me. However,
right.
if something to happen, I need to be able to bury my kids. I don't want to have to
that's
call
right.
around to the family. You know, I have to have all of that prepared. All that's prepared, and we're still here. Because a lot of people say, when you plan it, it's going to happen tomorrow. You know, something's going to happen tomorrow. No. I've had life insurance
mm-hmm.
on all three of my kids, and thank God they are still here. So I just recommend planning and preparing. It just it makes things a little easier. It doesn't take away the pain, but it allows you to be able to grieve and not stress as much during that time of pain.
Yes. Excuse me. This, Mary,
Mama.
May I have that phone number again, please?
Of course. It's 267-970-0889.
0889?
Yes.
Okay.
We'll make sure... We'll make sure that all this contact information gets put up on our Facebook page, facebook.com/PRF. And that's what we do that because we want to make sure that the world knows for all of you who come and share your labor of love on the PRF table that we're behind and support what you're doing and what God has put in you. One more question I think I'm trying to squeeze in before the end of the show. Can you speak to the young people? And I want you to speak to the young people because sometimes those in my age group, we didn't do none of this. We didn't put this type of stuff in place. And so when you haven't done it, right, God bless our parents, but when you haven't done it, then it's less likely that you'll teach it to your children and or put it in place for your children. And so then next thing you know, you my age and you got 22 and they 19 and 20. And now you're like, you know what? You're thinking about other stuff. But what are they thinking about?
Right.
They're not thinking about it because it hasn't been presented to them. So can you just speak to how important you believe that this is for young people? You know, the millennial group, if you will.
Yes. To the young people, my age and younger, this is very, very important because nowadays a lot of us are going to see the Lord a little sooner than planned. You have people that are our age. Actually, I have a family member recently that was younger than me that passed away, unfortunately, of cancer. And I actually have another younger person that was about 27 that passed away from a brain aneurysm. So tomorrow's it's not promised to any of us. So I recommend this for the younger people as well. I mean, you have, unfortunately, you have drunk drivers out here. You have people just on their cell phones driving and not paying attention. And you're called to the Lord a little earlier than planned. And your family are going to grieve your passing in the worst way. They are going to be so stressed out, upset. It's just going to be horrible. And this book is not going to take that. It would help them to know what you wanted and to know how you want to be laid to rest. And they can already, it'll just make the process easier for them so that they can grieve your passing, unfortunately, and just hand this book to the service provider, and it'll just be a little simpler. They don't have to go through your apartment or go through your dorm room and look through all your things and then just try to figure out what they want to do because you already have it prepared just in case. And mind you, like I said, preparing does not mean that you're going to force it to happen. It's on God's time. You can prepare this book, and it doesn't happen for 40 or 50 years. However, you were in preparation for your family to help their state of mind in advance. And that's all this is, just a little small $5 book to help them. So it's a very small price with a lot of very good informative information about yourself to help your family and friends.
Let me say this. Thank you for that response. And I know you said it's $5, but let me just say something. This is what I want folk to hear. This is don't even look at the money piece. Just look at it as an investment. And here's what I would say. If you can't invest $5.99 in yourself, but you can invest $20 for a ticket to the movies for somebody else's future to help their children, then you're thinking wrong. I don't care whether you're in the church. I don't care your title. I don't care your position. I'm telling you like I can tell you. I'm saying it. As I'm saying it, but I'm saying it in love. If you can't invest in your own life for this amount, that something is wrong. You have mixed priorities. I pray that God mm-hmm. helps you to get on the right track, because at the end of the day, we rolling up out of here. We all mm-hmm. don't want to go right now, but it's coming. It's coming. And I just hope that when we all roll up out of here, that there's this little book called How to Lay Me Down to Rest that's in the nightstand or in the safe, that somebody could be like, you know what? This is what he said. This is what she said. And it lightens the load, because if you've been through this situation before, not just this part. I mean, we ain't even getting to the lack of insurance. We're not getting to the lack of having will. We're talking about this. You know, what did Iverson say? Iverson kept saying practice. We're talking about practice. What are we talking about? Practice. You got to go back and do a YouTube. You understand what I'm talking about. If you feel it, you know. We're talking about a $5.99 book. That's an investment. So we're talking about an investment, right? Let me share this. Nikki, we are so happy that that we finally got an opportunity to get you onto the show. Something
Thank
that I may have mentioned before, and y'all know me, I like to say things publicly because then you can hold me accountable. And I have the authority to do this as the executive director of the PRF Institute. But what I have done was I have committed to us, the PRF Institute, to helping push 1,000 books before the end of the year.
Wow.
1,000 books before the end of the year. 1,000 books, y'all. 1,000 books before the end
thank
of the year.
Thank you so much. Oh, my God, thank you.
So listen, to all of the people out there listening, to all of those who are going to listen to the archives, Dr. Dunlap is not trying to buy these books. So that means you got one or two choices. One is you can go to her website, right? BooksByNicoleThompson.com, and you can buy the book. The other option is, here's what we're doing. We're planning for 6 legacy conferences this year, Nikki. 6 throughout the country. And in every one from now on, and I've already put it out, and everybody on the team already knows this, Mama, this may be new information for you, but we have now incorporated this book as the only book that we're going to offer in our course. So whenever somebody registers for our course, they're going to get this book. So I know Nikki was wondering, why did he buy all these books last year? And he ain't said nothing about what are you going to do with them, because I'm always doing stuff with a plan. So we have a lot of books right now, and we're planning for every one of these conferences that we're doing. Again, it's 6. We're planning for no less than 50 people. So listen, we need y'all help and we need y'all support. And the last thing I will say is this, for those who are listening, and I do this from time to time, we have 10 books that we're willing to give away free. All we need you to do is to reach out to us on Facebook. I don't want to receive an email. Reach out to us on Facebook. Tell us you enjoyed the show and tell us you want the book. And then, of course, you'll email your address. And we're not even going to have you go to Nikki's website. We're going to let you do it. And the last thing we're doing is we're revising some things on our website, prfministry.org. And so your book, Nikki, will be one of the resources on our actual ministry page. So people who may not even come to the course, if we don't do this for each other, Nikki, Mama, if we don't do this for each other, who else is going to do it?
Yeah,
I'm going to say this. I don't know if this is, you know. I know a lot of white folk. I know a lot of white folk, y'all. Trust me. But white folk, their funerals come like 2 days, the next day, 45 minutes after somebody die.
Right.
And the only reason that can happen, and, you know, 45 minutes of exaggeration, which y'all know I do that, but the only reason that happens is because they have their affairs in order. It doesn't mean that they're still not going to experience grief. It doesn't mean that they're not going to experience any turmoil. But they're able to do that and now start going towards the healing process because they don't have to worry about that. I belong to a Southern Baptist congregation for like 6 or 7 years during my lifetime. And every time somebody died, Sister such and such dies on Wednesday, we get a phone tree that says, good morning, we have an announcement for you. We have Sister such and such. Let's pray for her. The wake is going to be tomorrow. What? What? Tomorrow? I'm like, man, I can't even get off work that early. You know what I'm saying? I ain't got time to put a PTO slip. But the reason they're able to do that is because they have their affairs in order. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not going to say all white people are in that boat because they're not. But I'm going to just speak it from that one particular context. What I've never heard, can we have a donation to bury such and such? What I never heard is we don't have any, the family doesn't have any money. I don't hear that. I never heard that in six or seven years. I never heard that. Then I go back, God send me back to church with my folk. And how many times has a GoFundMe account been put up? How many times have we had chicken dinners? How many times are we going to sell T-shirts? It stopped now, y'all. Y'all know I just had to try to lighten the load on this thing a little bit today because I'm telling you, what we're dealing with is not an easy thing, but we just had to do our part.
And it helps for the children. It helps for the ones who are still here. When you do have your things in order and you do have life insurance policies, and I'm not saying that, you know, you want to come up off of someone passing. You don't want that. But however, a lot of other cultures do make sure that their people are okay when they're gone, because when they're still here, a lot of us still call on our parents. I don't care how old you are, for some financial assistance sometimes. So with this in order and being in order, you know, even when they pass, they are still helping you out, you know, by having life insurance or whatever. And a lot of our people don't invest in that, and it's a shame.
Yeah. Oh,
May I add to lighten the load. Another thing is that that I've heard, and my aunt was saying that when her, you know, there wasn't a will or anything of that nature either. You know, that's way, way, way back. She said her mother had a family Bible, and everybody loved that. It was a really large family Bible. And she said everybody loved that Bible. And she says, you know, as you were saying, Nikki, you know, you're in grief and you're not paying attention to things. She said somebody stole that Bible.
Oh my God.
And so when everything has settled down, you know, the family is looking for the Bible, and no one knows what happened to that Bible. And I do believe that, you know, as we're getting older, you know, say, you know, you're hitting 70 and whatnot, and you have, you know, jewelry is another thing too.
Exactly. That happened.
I'm telling you, I've heard so many fights over jewelry.
Yes.
Just give the person the jewelry while you're alive. Because even if you leave a will, they'll say, Aunt Susie says she's going to give that to me ever since I'm 10 years old. You know, and like you say, they're not speaking to each other.
Right. Because she has to write it down and tell them, listen, she gets this notice if anything happens to me. Because they did argue over that. Exactly.
And think about it like this. We know that the Bible says write the vision and make it plain. And we know this that is a different context from what we're talking about. But what we can glean from that is if you don't write it down, then nobody else really knows. And I may tell you, Nikki, today, and then 3 years from now, I may tell you, Mama. And so now Nikki and Mama's like, well, no, he said this, and no, he said that. Well, yeah, I did. Both of y'all right.
Right.
But now what y'all going to do? And nobody want to budge. So, again, this, and I'll share this with everybody. A lot of people don't know this, but my doctorate degree is in theories and practices of conflict transformation. So everything that I do through PRF is about conflict transformation. We want to reduce the conflict that is going on within the family structures. That's why we were talking about marriages earlier in the first two shows that we had this month in our Black Money Matter series. That's why we focus and transition a little bit to education. And now we're saying, look, at the end of the day, something's going to happen. So put your stuff in order. Get your stuff in order right now while you have the ability, because tomorrow is not promised. And, again, we want you to invest in yourself. God is looking for people to see if they're going to invest in themselves. Because the reality is, the Bible says this: the wealth of the wicked is stored up for the righteous. So if the wealth of the wicked is stored up for the righteous, then that means the only way the righteous is going to get it is if the righteous is positioned to be able to receive that type of wealth. So God is not going to give you anything that you're not ready for. So if you can't do something as simple as this, then why is God going to make a way for you to provide your family $200,000-$400,000 worth of life insurance? Don't make sense. Mm-hmm. Doesn't make sense. So, again, what we're dealing with is the low-hanging fruit. This is the low-hanging fruit. You get this piece done. And I promise you, every time somebody leaves out of one of our courses, the course is called, the conference is a legacy conference, but the course is called, Will You or Will You Not? And everybody who completes that course will have this done. And I'm going to tell you, we have another document that we've been using to help people to really deal with the will portion of it. But again, when I read this book and was introduced to it back in December, I was like, this is that low-hanging fruit. This is what's going to encourage somebody. I can go to the next level. I can go and do this next thing. And it's going to help us to start creating a better family structure within the Black community. Now, this book is not just for Black people, but this is the context of where we're talking about today. So we want all of our white folks that listen to the PRF table to get the book as well, because it applies to them as well. So listen, tonight's show, The Future, Encouragement to Do Now. We're with Nicole Thompson. Nikki, thank you so much for being with us. We're about to sign off for the night. Mama, thank you for being here on behalf of everybody else.
I have something that I think is very important. It's that when you have your insurance, it's good to have them automatically take it out, because if it's in the process, if that payment is in the process in the mail for that month, they don't have to pay. So that's why it's important to have it taken out of your check automatically.
So they have it.
It will have been paid for the whole month. You know, because sometimes, you know, things happen and you'll have it like maybe 5 days before, and you put it in the mail.
Okay. Uh-huh. All right. Well, thank you for that tidbit. So listen, we want everybody to come and join us back here on the PRF table every Thursday, but particularly next Thursday as we begin our next series. Our next series, you don't want to miss it. It is called Release from Financial Bondage. Release from Financial Bondage. So we are going to deal with how you can get release from financial bondage. And I'm telling you, I've been preaching on it. I've been teaching on it. So I'm kind of ready. I can go and probably do a show about it tomorrow. But I'm going to wait till next Thursday for y'all. Give y'all something to anticipate. Let y'all get y'all folks together so y'all can come together as a group and say we need to listen to the PRF table, 347-215-7934. Visit us on Facebook, go to our website. And again, thank you one more time, Nikki, for being with us. Mama, thank you.
Thanks,
we love you. We will
love
see
you.
Y'all next Thursday, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on the PRF table. This is Dr. Dunlap. God bless you. Peace.